you can have a father or a husband who's wonderful at home, kind, patient, has time for everybody, right? The best of the adult. Comes to work, right? And he can be the meanest, cruelest boss you ever met. What's my point? You have the opposite also sometimes, you know? Yeah. Now, my point is like this. People's attributes are not absolute, right? Right? People's attributes are not always absolute. People's attributes are a function, right, of relationship. And that's, now we're back on, okay. Okay. Was it better without it? Was that better with it? Okay. My opening point is like this. Right? When we talk about attributes in relation to people, right, attributes are not always, are not necessarily absolute. They're not necessarily, that's attribute, either he's mean or he's nice, right? Sometimes a person can be mean in one relationship, and he can be nice in another relationship. My point is, if we want to write as a function on the board, right, attributes are a function of relationships. I think any of us familiar with life recognize that. Now, it could be there can be a dominant attribute, right? More, but attributes sometimes in a person can change. Now, lavdom, right? I want to use, again, when we talk about God's attributes, it's because we're using attributes that we're familiar with humans, and using that, there's a fancy word for that, we referred, I can't pronounce it, okay. You know what I mean? Anthropomorphism, something like that, okay. Too many syllables. But when we describe God in human attributes, right? So this might be an example of it. Now, what we're going to do now is we're going to trace God's attributes through the history of Chumash, right? Who knows of any attributes of God before God declares these attributes of mercy after Chet HaEgel, after the sin of the golden calf? Did we ever find God having attributes, right? No, it's mean, kind, nice, beforehand in Chumash. What? Where do we see God being a tzaddik? Yeah, and what's it say there? Avram is questioning that. Yeah? So in the story, for example, in the story of Sodom, right? How is God's behavior? Is it merciful or is it mean or is it what? It's just. And just means what? Let's use two poles, right? We've heard of Din and you've heard of Rachamim, right? If we talk about Rachamim, usually the opposite of Rachamim is usually called Din. Correct? Din and Rachamim? Din, I guess, would be judgment. Right? Give me examples of Din. Din are, you get what you deserve. You get what you deserve, that's Din. Rachamim is, you don't get what you deserve punishment, and you're sort of absolved, or we stop your punishment, correct? You ask for mercy, you deserve to be sentenced 20 years in jail. You ask for mercy, okay. Right? Civil service for 2 months. Okay. That happens in Israel all the time. Okay. Okay. No room in the jail, stuff like that. Okay. Okay. You understand my point? Okay. Now, the story of Sodom, what are God's midot? When Sodom is punished, is that Din or Rachamim? Din, right? The people sinned, they're punished. Who was the tzaddik in Sodom? Lot. And who was saved? Lot. And anyone, right, who followed him. And the Malachim come to test that. Was there any story before Sodom that God punished? What? The Mabel, that's right. Is that Din or Rachamim? Din, right? They sinned, they got punished. Any other stories in Bereshit before that? Adam and Chava, right? In fact, you see what's happening? What's the first story in Chumash after creation? What? It's a story, Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, is a story of sin and punishment, isn't it? What's the next big story in Chumash, besides all the boring names after, in between? Right? The Mabel, Adam, I'm kind in heaven, I skipped one, a story of sin and punishment. Last time I read it, right? Okay? Right? The next story, the Mabel, a story of sin and punishment. Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Babel, sin and punishment. Right? There's a good reason. It's not just coincidental. That's a primary, if Chumash is basically, or prophecy, is a story or of God's relationship, right? If God's relationship with mankind and later with Am Yisrael is the main topic of Nevuah of Chumash, then it makes sense that we have stories of that relationship. But in all the stories that I mentioned, Gan Eden, the Mabel, Kain Vehev Amidabel, what were God's attributes? Pretty much Din. You sinned, you got punished. Right? And the rare chance someone did good, he was rewarded. Okay. When we get to Avram Avinu, right? We don't have, the focus shifts. We deal more with what we call a covenant with Brit. Right? We don't have stories of Avram sinning and getting punished. Sometimes we view it that way. Sometimes maybe Avram did something wrong because of that he had to go down to Egypt. That's more midrashic. But simple pshat, Avram's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking more about the future than the past, right? God didn't say, you've been a lousy guy, you have to be a chosen nation, right? Or even vice versa. I know that's your punishment. In other words, God decides that Avram Avinu is going to be the forefather of a chosen nation. Not because he sinned, and interestingly, not because it didn't say he was chosen because he did something great either. He was chosen for a purpose. That's a topic for Sabrishi. And he tells that to Yitzchak. Hashem tells Yitzchak later on, how come he chose Avram Avinu? Or either, that's great, whether how come he chose him or how come he continued to chose him? That's a beautiful sforno on that pasuk. You don't have time to go into that. Basically, Hashem's telling Yitzchak, listen, Avram Avinu deserved what he got. It's time for you to do something. Look at this sforno there. It's beautiful. Yeah. That's a good question. Is that kind? But it's hard to call that kindness. Point somebody else. Okay. there's no doubt there's attributes in that story, right? But the focus of the story afterwards is more. It's clear that up until Avram is chosen in Sefer Bereishit, the topic is reward and punishment, right? Afterwards, the main topic is the chosen family, and there might be topic. But in any case, almost every instance, except maybe when God comes and helps Ishmael and Hagar out. Right. Every instance, pretty much God, right, punishes for people who deserve to be punished. Yeah. 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 That's a question. What he means by death? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No. God doesn't. He doesn't. What do you call it? If someone sins, he doesn't punish them right away. Sometimes that might be out of mercy. It might be out of waiting. Right? In other words, when it's all over, if you remember integrals, in other words, over a set amount of time from zero to t or whatever it is, over a certain amount of time, everything comes out. There's din over everything. Right? There's no. We don't absolve sin. Right? Put it this way: we never see the word rachamim, rachum v'chanun beforehand. Now, we can view a story and say, hey, there's an element here of mercy. But from a textual point of view, we never see the words. And we never really see a case where someone did something wrong. God says, even though he did something wrong, big deal. I'll give you another chance. Or I'm going to wipe that out. Okay. Now, that's background. That's less important. I want to begin now with Sefer Shemot. Am Yisrael comes out of Egypt. And we come to Har Sinai. And the big event I want to begin with, and while we're talking about it, we're going to pass out the... Don't look ahead, okay? Because I want to. When you get to sheet, don't cheat, okay? now everyone's gonna cheat, okay? I told you, ideally, this should be in the classroom with what do you call with books open and preparation, etc. We're just going to summarize. Okay, when the pages are coming out, our first big topic now. Let me review. Okay, what we're trying to do now is trace God's attributes before we find His attributes of mercy. Remember, His attributes of mercy are declared after the sin of Chet Ha'egel. If you don't remember, that's towards the end of Sefer Shemot, towards the end of Exodus, and we're tracing God's attributes beforehand. And we've noticed that the primary attribute beforehand has been what? Has been din, pretty much, when we find them. And we never found any mention of rachamim. Right? Even though there might have been cases where it appears to be that way. Now, everyone's heard of the Ten Commandments? Okay. What do we call the Ten Commandments in Hebrew? Yeah, what should we call them in Hebrew? Ten Commandments should be called Aser Tamitzvot. For some reason, Chumash makes a mistake. Right? Okay. Now, Chumash, Chumash calls it what? Instead of calling the Ten Commandments Aseret HaMitzvot, Chumash calls them Aseret HaDvarim, what we call Aseret HaDibrot. Now, usually we gloss that over, but there's a big deal. What's my point? The Ten Commandments are more than commandments. It includes commandments. It might even be more than ten. But there's more than commandments in the Ten Commandments. Most people don't realize that. You're going to figure out about 2 minutes, you'll figure it out. You'll see yourself. I'm going to take a little break. But what I want you to do is look at source number one here. Okay? Shemot Chaf is the Ten Commandments. Right? And look at the source, right? I sort of give it away. Again, I told you this is a summary, right? Because it's bolded, etc. But review the Ten Commandments. This was supposed to be like the board, and everyone's supposed to have a chumash. I thought, but you're saving a lot of time. look at the Ten Commandments, and notice that what? In addition to the commandments, there's also midot. There's also attributes. Okay, let's take a look. Everyone knows the first one. By the way, is this first statement, I am the Lord your God, is that a commandment or not? That's a great argument among commentators. Okay? Don't have any other gods, don't bow down to any other gods, etc. Okay. But in addition to the commandment, we also have, right, punishment. Listen to what it says. Pasuk Daled. Okay? Lo tishtachaveh lehem v'lo tovdeim. Don't bow down to other gods. And don't worship them. Why? Ki anochi Hashem Elokecha. Now we're letter A. Elkana. What's that mean? God is A. Who said jealous and who said zealous? I heard both. Didn't I? What's the difference between jealous and zealous? First of all, what's kana mean? Zealous or jealous? What's the issue? Pinchas was a zealot. Okay. Now it happens that a lot of zealots might be jealous, right? Or jealousy or jealous of God. But usually the word means kanoi, right? Eliel. Wasn't a jealous word. It's not a negative thing. It's kind of what he's an extremist. Right? But what's characteristic of someone who's a kanai? What's he do? He acts, and how soon does he act? Right away, right? With zeal, right away. And therefore, what if you don't follow this law, what will God do? If God's a zealous God, what will we do? He'll punish you right on the spot, real quickly. You know, it pays to listen, because oy vavoy if you don't. Elkanah. Is that a midah? Big time, right? Din or rachamim? Din. Okay? Everyone agree? Okay, that's A. Okay, B. What else does God do, he claims? Poked avon avot habanim. What's that mean? He visits sin, not only if you sin, not only do you get punished, also the whole family gets punished. Right? To an extent. Lehu? Lissonai. Lissonai means to those who hate him. No, it's someone who hates God, doesn't follow him, God will punish him. Okay? Is that Dina Rachamim? Din Big Dad. It's a no-brainer. Okay? Okay. Hey, the next one, Pasuk Hey. Vo'oseh chesed alafim lohavai l'shomrim mitzvotai. Okay? On the other hand, no, it's, if you hate him or don't follow him, you'll be punished. If you like him, if you love him, and you follow his laws, what will happen? You'll be? God will give you chesed. Is that din or rachamim? Who said din? Why would it be din? So what you're saying is din isn't necessarily bad. Din is you get what you deserve. Okay, very good. That's what I wanted to hear. That's exactly my point. Oseh chesed le'ohavai. Now, I don't want to get into the whole discussion what the word chesed means, but kindness. But who gets kindness? People who deserve kindness. Okay? Now, we call this sort of like conditioning. By the way, we're the... okay? What's happening? We have a set of rules together with their enforcement. It's the first day of school coming up in most schools. Right? What happens the first day of school? What do you get? Right? You get a list of rules, right? Right? No drinking, driving, the whole list of rules, okay? The kids hear the rules. What do they want to know? Right? They want to know how mean is the principal, right? How do they enforce it, right? How many times can I get away with chewing gum in class without getting thrown out, right? How many times, no one said? They want to stretch it. But what happens? You can have a set of rules, but their enforcement, it makes sense that together with the set of rules I have, to what degree they're enforced, etc. Got it? And there's a very common topic nowadays, the discretion of the judge. Right? Now, you can have a rule book, right? You murder somebody, right? So the sentence is, or you can have a certain sentence, but there's discretion of the judge. He can make it less. There's a maximum sentence the judge can. In other words, the judge is limited, right? Can't give more than 40 mach, whatever it is. He can't give more than X amount of years. And sometimes you have a minimum sentence that you can't. In other words, we leave the punishment to the discretion of the judge, but usually within a certain line of scrimmage, right, between the two. And that's a whole argument nowadays in a lot of court systems. How much do we leave? How much can you leave to the discretion of the judge in cardinal issues? Right? Because how much can you trust judges? That's a whole, we'll get into that. But my point is that a set of laws, the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Dibrot, include, right, a attributes of enforcement. And these laws are so strict, they need to be enforced carefully. Okay. Any one more midah pasuk, and the next dibor, the third commandment. Lo tisat shem Hashem elokecha lashav. Don't say God's name in vain. Why? What's that mean? God won't? He won't clean away. He won't absolve that sin. What's that? Din rachamim? Din. What do we find? Surprising, isn't it? That the Ten Commandments go hand in hand with what midah? with Midat HaDin. After you read it, it's obvious, isn't it? Most people didn't. That's why I made the big deal about it. People don't realize that the Ten Commandments go hand in hand with Din. Okay? Okay. Which is pretty surprising. Now, can anyone explain the advantage of acting of these Midot? What do we gain? What does God gain by acting with Din? Okay, well, I want to call Pavlov's dog, if you remember. I think that's right. Or conditioning, right? You want to train somebody. You want to make sure. You have to train a dog. Or young parents, right, think they can train a child, right? First time you have a child, young parents, it's so simple to raise a child. What happens? You do something good, give him a cookie. Does something bad, smack. He'll be perfect. Ever try it? If they try in the first one, they usually won't buy the second one. Okay, yeah, okay. On the end, in theory, it sounds great. Now, if you have a slave at home, right? Now, back in the old days when there was slavery, right? Or if you're a mean boss, what happens, right? There's more chance to be mean, and might even work. Why? Because I want the job done. And there's more reason to be strict. Why? Because why did I hire this servant? I need him to do the job. If he doesn't do the job, what do I need him for? It makes sense to condition him. Now, what would God gain by being strict? Right? What do we gain by if Am Yisrael sin, they get punished right away? And what do we gain by this conditioning? What's the goal of all this? Why is God giving us Ten Commandments? Okay. Yeah. Now, I want to go back. We don't have time. If we had Chumashim, we do it. I'm going to do a half hour in 2 minutes. Okay. Before the Ten Commandments, before chapter 20, it's chapter 19. Not by chance. Okay. No, that always happens. But my point is like this. Remember chapter 19 in Sefer Shemot? Chapter 19 is before Bnei Yisrael get the Ten Commandments. There's an engagement, right? Now, God makes a proposal. Remember the proposal? You came to our scene, I did all this for you. Now, if you're willing to listen to me and keep my covenant, and you'll be for me a skula, if you're willing to obey me and keep my laws, then you'll be for me. God makes a deal. Before Bnei Yisrael receive the Torah, first you have to agree to the proposal. And what's the essence of the proposal? We call it Brit Milah, right? L'chal Elokim, or the phrase which comes up over and over again in Chumash, right? Atem tuli la'am, anochi yelachem. You'll be my people, I'll be your God. We have a relationship. And what's the purpose of it? That's what Sefer Bereishit was about, right? God chose Avraham Avinu to be the forefather of a nation that's going to represent him. God needs an agent, right? God has a message for mankind, to recognize God, to create a just society, right? And in order to get that message across, right, God chose a nation to represent him. And if we have time to learn Sefer Dvarim, that's what we're reading almost every week in Chumash, like this week's Parsha, okay? L'man hakim otcha la'am, b'ulech el Elohim. Okay? And in order that what? Baruch ko ha'meyatz ki shem Hashem nikra elecha. Other nations will see that God's name is upon you. Basically, if Am Yisrael keeps these laws, that's just the Ten Commandments, all the laws of Chumash, other nations will look up to them. Okay? And the goal of the laws isn't that other nations look up to you. That's sometimes misunderstood in Judaism, right? The goal, it's not that your goal in life is that people look up to you. Let's miss something, like, remember the last pasuk in Kitavah, right? Hashem will make you Elyon, L'shem U'tilal Tifaret, U'l'atcham Kadosh. It's not the goal that you'll be above them, to show off. The goal isn't they're above and you're superior, right? Right? The goal is to make a name for God. But in order to make that name for God, you have to play a role, not to act superior, but your character should be superior. Now, I expect more from you. Therefore, you have to act on a higher level. Other nations have laws you're not allowed to steal. You have laws that, right? You have to return a lost item to somebody who doesn't know if lost it. And you have to help your enemy, your the guy you hate who davens in the other shul. When his car's stuck, you have to go and help him change the tire, even though you're busy on the way to work and you might miss your golf game or something. Mesirut Nefesh, you have to. Every nation has laws. The laws of Am Yisrael are a notch higher. And in doing so, we're setting an example for other nations. But we could read 1,000 psukim, but that comes over and over again. Chumash and Navi, etc. Right? The goal isn't to be the best. The goal is to represent God. But to represent God, you have to be the best. Not to. It's responsibility, not privileges. Again, that's a topic in itself to prove. We'll just take that as granted. Now, why did I mention that? If Am Yisrael's goal is to represent God, right? That's a rough job. That's a hard job. And we have to make sure the job gets done. I want to compare it to a unit in the army. Take an elite unit in the army. Here's the Rangers, and Israel, it's at Sanchanim, or Tuvdavan, whatever the unit might be. Right? When you train for that unit, what midah does the commanders use? Din rachamim. Why? because he's mean, dumb. Right? If you're training a pilot, he can make mistakes. Right? You can, oh, I'm sorry, you know, we'll let you fly again. And the guy keeps on missing the targets, right? You can blow up the wrong city. It's not, you can't use rachamim, right? When the stakes are so high, you can't use rachamim. You're running a school, show us a big deal, right? But army, depending, depending on the job that needs to be done, it makes sense sometimes to use midat hadin. When the stakes are high, you have to be thing. In ancient times, when there used to be kings and queens, how did one have to act in the palace of a king? You can't mess around. You can't slump around. Right? Right? You make one wrong move, off with the guy's head. Out in the court, you know, fine. But in the king's court, everything goes by protocol. Now, who would think of even flinching or something? Everyone's got standard attention because it creates respect for the king. There's certain situations where din is helpful. Okay. Obviously, I brought two examples. Raising children can be a disaster, but training pilots, okay, it can be useful. Now, you might need mercy a little bit here, but sometimes you might need dina the other way, but I was using two extremes. Got it? No. What's my point? Because Am Yisrael's job is so important and so cardinal, so important to be accomplished, I can understand, in what they call a havamina, I can understand a priori why God would want to begin with what? With a strict set of laws, a strict set of enforcement. The stakes are high. Because if you don't do your job, what? Then what did I choose you for? If you make a chilu Hashem, what do we gain? And therefore, Am Yisrael has to follow God properly. If they don't, it looks bad. It looks bad for God, looks bad for everybody. And therefore, there's an advantage of being, of using din. And therefore, it comes right up front with the Ten Commandments. Okay? Now, I'm going to take another minute to review what happens in Chumash afterwards. In case you forgot, what happened in Chumash after? We have the Ten Commandments, and then the people get scared. Oh, this doesn't sound so good. Right? No, is this scary? And they say, Moshe Rabbeinu, what they tell him? You take over, right? No, it's, you go to Shir, and we'll read the notes. No, you go up to God, right? You hear the rest of the laws, and you come and tell us. That's a story, and that's what happens. Moshe goes up to God, and God tells him Parshat Mishpatim. Lots and lots of laws. That's all Parshat Mishpatim. When Parshat Mishpatim is over, right? After saying all these laws, God ends the laws with a promise. And that's what we're going to read now, okay? Why are we reading this? In this promise after the laws, we're going to find yet another attribute of God and a very important point. Okay? Remember, after they receive the laws, where should they go? They're supposed to go to the land of Israel. Okay? Of course, the Bible I read. They're supposed to go to the land of Israel and set up this nation. And here God's going to promise what's going to happen. Pasuk, everyone have it? Source number two? Okay. What's God promising? I'm going to send a malach. What's that? Yeah, we're going to come on purpose a malach because he's not an angel. He might be an angel, but he's not an angel like on the, they still have the funeral homes still give out those calendars. And when I grew up, they always, right? Don't they? I don't know what happened when I grew up. Calendars always come from the funeral homes or insurance agents in Israel. Same. Pretty much the same difference. but they always had these Jewish pictures of angels with wings flying around. And also some, Christian influence on things. But you'll see in a minute, we're not talking about an angel here, in a classic sense. A malach means someone who's sent from God. It's very important. You'll see why. Okay? I'm sending a malach in front of you to guard you and to bring you to the land that I promise. Referring to what? The land of Israel. Okay. Hishamer mipanav. Okay, Pasuk Chavalaf. Yishamer mipanav u'shma b'kolo. Listen to him. Pay attention to him. Why? Atamer bo, don't rebel against him. Why? E? Ki lo yisal lefi shechem. What's that mean? He won't tolerate your sins. Why? I should have underlined this more. Ki shmi b'kirbo. This malach is what? When he speaks, it's though I'm speaking. And if he says do it, you listen to him. Right? What's the commander say? My assistant commander, he's going to be in the field with you. When he gives a command, it's like, I'm giving a command. You better do it, otherwise you're in jail. Got it? Yeah. That's the downside. What's the upside? Chabet, kim shomo tishma b'kolo. If you listen to him. Vasit et kol asher daber. Notice, if you listen what he tells you to do, which is what? Which is basically what I'm telling you to do. Then what? V'yakti tadech, then what I will do? Then I will help you defeat your enemies and I'll help you conquer the land. He goes on, continues. Now, who is this malach who when he speaks, it's so God speaking, and he's supposed to lead them to the land, and when he speaks, it's so, no, it's, he's speaking in the name of God. It's got to be Moshe Rabbeinu, right? In the end, it's not Moshe, no, it's, in the end game, it's not Moshe Rabbeinu because of all the sins later on. But it should have been Moshe Rabbeinu. But remember that. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's considered Shmi Bikirbo. Remember that phrase? If we had a board, we had written, you know, big letters. Shmi Bikirbo means Moshe Rabbeinu is though God himself is speaking. And that's exactly what they asked for. The Ten Commandments. Okay? Now, what midah is that? Dina Rachamin. Perfectly din again, right? If you do something wrong, he won't tolerate it. If you do something right, what'll happen? He'll reward you. He'll bring you to the land. What do we find yet another example of? Another example of din. And that's the last, there haven't been any other midot before. By the way, if you were as a smart aleck in the room, you would ask me a question from Parsha Mishpatim. Remember, if you don't return, if you take advantage of a yotam and amana, right, and they cry out to God, right? Okay, here again, v'shamati ki chanun ani, it's the end of an aliyah, right? V'shamati ki chanun ani, remember? Now, someone could have caught me because we had the word chanun. In what relationship is God chanun? Not in his relationship with the nation, in defending a poor widow, right? Now, that Hashem has always been. That's why he helped Hagar and Ishmael, etc. beforehand. That we have to emulate. But in his relationship with the nation, understand? That's my point. God's midot will be a function of a relationship. And here we have a brit. A brit is a relationship. It's a covenant. And we have a set of rules. So maybe for an individual, God may have midot of rachamim. But with his nation, right? No, it's the lady, the cook in the kitchen, right? The commander will say, you know what? The shit's okay, my bad, this Shabbos, that's okay, you can keep your job. But the pilot, right, who messed up? That's something else. Okay. One last midah. Then we have to skip in Chumash again. In the meantime, Moshe goes up to get the second luchot. You know the story? That's in the movie. Moshe goes up, 40 days and 40 nights. And then all the boring Truma, no, all the Mishkan, Truma Tetzaveh. Okay? When we pick up the narrative again, what story happens? Back at the ranch, what happens? The story of Chet Egel, the sin of the golden calf. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu about it. Right? We hear the story of the golden calf, and then what happens? I'm sorry. Story of the golden calf. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, not good. Moshe goes down, breaks the luchot. Right? That story we all remember. Now, when God gets angry, we're going to read the psukim to talk about God's anger and what does God decide to do? Remember? What's his first plan? What? Kill them all, right? Kill them all. And who's going to stay alive? Moshe Rabbeinu. Later, if we have time, I'd prove it. It's not just Moshe, but people like Moshe. We'll see why in a minute. Listen to what God tells him. That's source number 3. V'yomer Hashem Moshe. God told him, we skipped a lot. Again, we have to do this in an hour. Okay. V'yomer Hashem Moshe. Ra'iti et ha'am hazeh. What's that mean? God has eyes? What's Ra'iti mean when God says Ra'iti? Okay. You know, it's, I came to a conclusion. You see, like in English also, you see what I mean. I see what you're saying. Right? God reaches a conclusion. Ra'i is a key word to the whole story. What conclusion I reached? I saw this people, v'nei am k'she'orafu. What's that mean? Stubborn. It technically means they have a stiff neck. Someone with a stiff neck, okay, can't turn, can't change direction. Right? What conclusion does God... This isn't the first time the people of Israel have sinned. What conclusion did God reach? Right? This unit, this special unit that was training, right, to be tzanchanim, to be paratroopers, what? You're going to make it. It's not going to work. I can't use them. Dump them. Right? I want a new unit. I'll take a smaller amount of soldiers. I just want... Give me 20 soldiers, get the job done. Don't give me 500, right, who can't get anything done. Okay, it's a famous problem. I'm just using an analogy from the army because I think it's very similar. Now God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, now let me, and this is beautiful, it's God sort of hinting to Moshe Rabbeinu, no, to Davin. Okay. What will God do? If you let me, what do I do? What's Charonaf mean? I'll kindle my anger and wipe him out. I'll make you a great nation. What kind of midah is that? Din. Right? What do we see? Every time we talk about God's attributes, down the line, in his relationship with Am Yisrael from Brit Sinai, din, all the way down. Okay. By the way, how come Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll make you a goy gadol? Have we had that phrase before anywhere in Chumash? Remember Avram Avinu? Vescha l'goy gadol? What Brit? What Brit is that referring to? Remember Brit Avot? What was Brit Avot all about? I'm going to make you a nation. Vescha l'goy gadol. And I'll bless you, and I'm going to give you the land. God made a shvuah, an oath on that brit. Remember? That can't go backwards. But remember that. God is bound by a shvuah to brit avot. Meaning, he has to fulfill brit avot, no matter what. He didn't say everybody, but brit avot... Now, is Abram Jewish? I mean, Abram for sure. Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's God saying? that let me punish everyone who can't handle it, and I'll make a nation out of you, I think even people like you. You'll see why, because B'nai Levi didn't sin. There's a lot of people who could have made it. The question is God going to continue this march through the desert, punishing anyone who sins, and only the best are going to make it to the land of Israel? Or is he going to be more lenient? And God wants to be strict. Okay, so those are the midot up until here. Okay, now don't look at the dot for a minute. Now we have to go back to the movie. Okay, up until, everyone saw the Ten Commandments? I hope I'm pretty much so. Older people, they saw it. Have you seen movies about the Bible? Like, that, we're familiar with the story. Okay, let's see what we remember from the story. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, remember, broke the Luchot. Okay, what happened if Moshe, what was the Luchot, what was the reason for the Luchot, the tablets? Remember? Give me another name. They were called Luchot Eidut. What else are they called? Luchot HaBrit. Remember? We say that in Echad Miyadeh, right? Shnei Luchot HaBrit, right? Shnei Luchot HaBrit means, what Brit is it talking about? What covenant? That's Brit Sinai. You've heard of Brit Sinai. Exactly. No, that Brit is what they call it. That was the deal that made it Sinai. But no, you'll be my God and you'll be a Goy Kadosh and I'll be your God. I'll take care of you. You follow my laws and I'll pay the bills. The that's what he now. What happened? Had that covenant been takif means give me the word. What? Enforced. Yeah. Had it been enforced, right? What should have God done after Chet HaEgel? He would have punished him. Right? How did Moshe save the people? What? I was going to take you to KP in class. I don't want to. I guess I can rip this. Okay, it's over. The thing, right? Moshe, right? Rips it up. Says, "Do you see a contract?" Right. By breaking the contract, right? I don't see what happened now. No, Brit Avot isn't there. If it's enforced, takef, maybe it's a better word. Takef means it's valid. It's valid. In other words, if the covenant is still valid, God will have to punish them. If I don't have a covenant, okay. So get out. So my point is, when Moshe breaks the Luchot, Brit Sinai is broken. Okay? What Brit isn't broken? Brit Avot. Now that's the question, right? We're going to follow that. You got the two? What's it? What do you mean? By the way, what's the oath? Right? Luchot HaBrit is a symbol of Brit Avot. Now, Brit Milah, that's the oath Brit. There, if you're looking for oaths, it's a totally different type of a Brit. It's an oath of a Brit. But there's a covenant there that's been passed on from generation to generation, an idea, a concept. That's more like an engagement, and the Brit Sinai is more the details. Okay, now, let's review the story, what we remember. Moshe comes down and breaks the Luchot, right? And breaks the Luchot. Now, he starts an investigation. Who gets investigated first? Remember? He calls Aaron, investigates what happens, right? You know, and what happened? What did they do? Anyone get punished? Remember, they call B'nai Levi, and they go from the Shar, they set up a Beit Din, pretty much. They go from Shar to Beit Din, to Zedin. And who gets killed? How many people get killed? 3,000, right? Are found guilty. How many people sinned? What? Right. 600,000. I mean, the nation sinned. So how come only 3,000 got picked? I'll compare you guys more for what do you call it? We'll call it a drug bust, okay? Right? Police come to a school, not a Jewish school, of course, right? And there's a drug bust, right? Everyone's on drugs or using drugs, right? Everyone goes to jail. What do they do? They start saying, hey, how'd you get it, right? They do a whole hakira if they're doing a good job. And who goes to jail? There's the pushers and the users, right? In other words, there's the perpetrators of the sin. Within the nation, there were the troublemakers. In Israel, we call them the leftists, but I don't want to get politics, stuff like that. Okay. No, someone you can blame when anything goes wrong. Okay. Okay. But in Israel, I'm considered leftist, so I can get away with that. Okay. I'm just using the analogy. In other words, you pick the troublemakers, you punish them, and the rest of them, right, they still need clemency. So who goes to jail, right? Someone who was a pusher, unless his parents are rich or something like that, or he knows the judge. But the perpetrators, right, are punished, right? And the rest of the people, what do they need? They need forgiveness. I'll give you another chance. They say that's what happens. Okay, that part of the story, remember? It's also in the movie. Remember when they go around killing? Now, what happens next? Moshe has to go up and daven for who? For the rest of the people. Remember? Moshe goes up and davens. I need to forgive this nation they sinned. What does God say? V'sachti kidvarecha, right? Meaning what? What do we have here? Isn't this one what? That's when we have the 13 midot of rachamim. That's usually what we remember, correct? I got the story pretty much right? Right? Obviously, that's not what we're going to do, right? But that's what most people remember. Most people remember the what? Right? Sakhti Kvech, by the way, is by Chetan Maraglim, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, but it's good. It's an answer I wanted to hear, though. It's good. Okay. It wasn't planted, right? Okay. What we usually remember is Moshe goes up and asks for forgiveness, and God says, okay, here's my 13 midot of rachamim, and you're forgiven. But what did we just do? We went from chapter 32 to chapter 34, right? In Chumash, and we skipped chapter 33, which we did here also, I think. Almost, okay? Almost chapter 33, but one part of it. And I'm going to tell you quickly what happened in Chumash, okay, not in the movie. And I'm going to tell you what happened, and then we'll see how important it's going to be. Okay? The first thing God tells Moshe, okay, says, Vayimi Mochorat, the next day after the 3,000 were killed, after that event, Moshe goes up and says, tells the people, okay, I'm going up, Ulay achapra b'chatretchem. Maybe I can get kapara, atonement for your sins. And Moshe goes up and says, Ana chatam ze chata gdola, right? Assume, in other words, they did a sin. Then Moshe is like this. Bata. Moshe, remember, if there was a Baal Korinos. Bata. Im tisa chatatam. What's Moshe ask for? Moshe asks God, please carry away my sin. Im tisa, carry away their sin. Right? Why does Moshe use those words? Im tisa chatatam. Right? Who is Moshe Rabbeinu in all these midot? Remember? Remember the malach? What was the midah of the malach? Which midah kiro? Right? God told Moshe about Moshe, Lo yisal pishechem. Therefore, if Moshe, by his letter of appointment, source number two is Moshe's letter of appointment. You're representing God, speaking the laws, guiding the people, and your letter of appointment says if they sin, don't absolve them, right? Punish them. You're the commander now. You're in charge. And you're representing me. Okay? Therefore, Moshe, by this appointment, has to punish them. What's Moshe asking now? I don't want to do my job. What could God say? You have to. And then what's the flip side? What's Moshe say? And if not, if you don't forgive them, what? Mechenina. Right? He's a great lawyer, Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Now, he's got a Kadosh Baruch Hu cornered. Kevyachol. Right? On the one hand, right, either change my letter of appointment. If not, I'm quitting. But what's the safer? Probably it's probably, you know, the brit, or what's the sifrachat? Safer a brit, probably, I don't want to get into, that's a whole shir. It's a fun thing. Probably safer a brit from Nasa V'nishma. Okay. Then Breikachat safer a brit, and they say Nasa V'nishma, but that's brit Sinai. What do you think God's answer is? You would hope that God would answer what? No? Absolved, right? Not okay? Salakti, we hope he would say Salakti Kitvarecha. God doesn't say that. You know what God says? Huh? Didn't say that yet. Bachanoti Atasherachon, that's a chapter later. Okay? You know what he says? Uvyom paktiu pakarati. Is I punish when I punish. I'm going to punish. He says, "Mi asher chatali." He says, "Remember, mi asher chatali imchenu misifri. Whoever sinned will be punished. And when I punish, maybe not right away, but whenever the time comes, I'll punish him. But there's a bigger punishment. You'll laugh in a second, right? What it says? God tells Moshe Rabbeinu a much bigger punishment. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu asked for forgiveness. God says, I'm not going to forgive them. God tells Moshe, "Vata lech nechei et am. Go lead the people el asher dibarti lach. Go take him to the land of Israel. That's their punishment." Catch it? It's strange. God says, I'm not going to forgive them. Punish them. What's the punishment? Moshe, you go take them to the land of Israel. And I'll punish them when I punish them. That's the pasuk. Nowadays, we understand it. Okay. It comes out to going to the land of Israel is a punishment. That's what Chumash says. It's amazing. Right? We're going to read the pasuk and explain it more in detail in a minute. What God means. God says, go lead the people to the land of Israel. Right? And when the time comes, I'm not going to forgive them. And when the time comes to punish, I'll punish them. Got that? Now, let me explain a beautiful Ibn Ezra on this. What happened, I think. Wait, understand what happened. Why does God say, bring him to the land of Israel? Why does God have to bring him to the land of Israel? For what reason? Brit Avot. God is bound to Brit Avot. He can't make... No, Brit Avot is still there. Brit Sinai is broken. Therefore, God's saying what? You know what? I promised you Brit Avot. Brit Avot, I promised you the land. I'll give you. Let's say, compared to a marriage. We got engaged. In the engagement, instead of a ring, gave me a key to an apartment. Okay? Right? The chassan gives the, you know, when they get engaged, I have a honeymoon apartment, right? We're going to live, right? Then they say, oh, we're going to have this great, perfect marriage, the whole thing, right? They have the whole thing, right? What happens? Something goes wrong, they break the engagement. Or they break the body, whatever it is. What you want? Hey, the witch says, hey, listen, you promised me the apartment. You know what he says? Take the lousy apartment. Okay? Understand? You can have it, but what? You can't have me, right? And that's exactly what God's going to tell Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? That's what, in other words, Brit Avot has to be fulfilled. But what's not? What's missing? Brit Sinai. You understand what happens? I'll give you a perfect analogy. Maybe not perfect, okay? Let me give you an analogy to explain the difference between Brit Avot and Brit Sinai. Words, how can you have Brit Avot without Brit Sinai? The best analogy is, I call it Herzl's dream come true, if you know Jewish history. Remember Theodor Herzl? Okay? What was his dream? He wanted a Jewish state with what? Okay? A secular Jewish state, meaning what? He wants a Jewish state. You can have Leila Seder, you can have, you know, you can have Jewish food and customs, etc. But what's missing? No Ktusha. Right? No Shemitah, Yovel, Mishkan, right? Without Sefer Vayikra, without Ktoshim to you. Without Sefer Dvarim, without a Goy Kadosh. Right? I want to have a nation of Jews, right? Okay. What's God say? You know what? You can have your land that I promised you, but I'm not going to be with you. Now let's read that inside. You understand what's happening? What's the punishment? The punishment is, God's saying, Brit Avot is there. Brit Sinai is broken. That's why God says, you know, go to the land. Now, let's read that inside in source number 4. Okay. Vayomer Hashem Moshe. Lecha le'mizeh. Atava Masher Leita Meretz Mitzrayim. Have it? In source number 4, Shemot Lamed Gimel. God says, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's explaining what, in Chumash now, after what I just did ad lib before. Go up to the land. Elam, sorry again. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Limor. Lecha le'mizeh, go up from the desert now to the land of Israel. Atava am asher leitam eretz, you and your people, right? Who you took out of Egypt. Ela aretz asher nishbati l'Avraham Yitzchak l'Yaakov le'emor lecha zarcha etnena. What's God saying? What we just said, right? Go take people land of Israel. Why? Because I promised it to who? To the Avot. That's Brit Avot. I'm going to fulfill Brit Avot. How about Brit Sinai? One second. V'shlach lefanecha malach. That's going to be tricky now. I'm going to send again an emissary, a malach. And who's this malach? We'll have to see. Okay. Tigrashi tekmani amori achitiva prizi v'achivi. No, I'm going to get rid of the nations. Pasuk Gimel, listen carefully. Ela, to the land flowing of milk and honey. Highlighted now. Ki lo ele bikir b'cha ki am k'she'orafata penachacha b'darach. That's the whole thing. What's God saying? Go to the land I promised you. Take it. Fine, but what? I'm not coming with you. Ki lo, remember those words. Ki lo ele bikir b'cha. Right? I'm not coming with you. Why? Because if I do come with you, what will happen? I'll kill you. Right? Then we can't live together, right? So fine, we made a deal in the apartment. If we live together, we're going to kill each other. And therefore, for the sake of our mutual benefit, what do we have to do? We have to separate. And that's what God tells us about. That's their punishment. Right? So it's going to land of Israel is because I promised you Brit Avot. God's bound to that. But what's he saying? Right? I'm not coming with you. That's their punishment. Now, on the Pasuk of Yom Paktiyah Pakadati, which is right beforehand, there's a beautiful Ebenezer. I'm mentioning it because Rosh Hashanah is coming up. What you mentioned before, right? What did God say? I'll punish you when I punish you, when the time comes. And this is an important point because it explains this idea of attributes with relationships. Right? Ebenezer says a half a sentence. He says, what's it mean of Yom Paktiyah Pakadati? What's it mean when I punish you, I'll punish you? Ebenezer says, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Right? When am I going to punish you? Every year in Rosh Hashanah, I'll decide. Got it? Now, who's judged on Rosh Hashanah? Right? What would most Jews say? Who's judged in Rosh Hashanah? Right? No, most people think it's the Jewish people, but that's... if you listen to davening, and listen to what you say in davening, exactly, who's... Kol Olam knows all mankind is judged in Rosh Hashanah. In the Sana Toka, remember? Right? Yeah. Kol Bayolam, Orim L'Tech Nehmarom. All mankind is judged in Rosh Hashanah. Now, aren't they judged every day? What happens? I'll compare it to a school or to a class. If you're a student in a class, and if you get a test every day, there's a big difference in that and a final at the end of the year. Or if you're in a job, if you're under scrutiny every single day, right? You have to pass a day at a time. And every day you're judged, that's much more difficult than what? Than once a year. Now, if I have once a year, I have time to make it up, right? I can slack off for a couple days and I'll cram a couple other days later. Got it? Now, Uvyom Bhakti Apakarati is Bidat Adin. But what? It's much more distant. And I want to talk about intensity of a relationship. You understand? Midat Adin, you can have an intense Midat Adin, and you can have a less intense, what's the word in English? A mild Midat Adin, very good. Got it?